things in this church, but I heard the Lord say that this morning. You asked them, what's going to be the difference today? Because God has sent your pastor to minister tremendous things to you. You've had many different ministers, and I'm one included. And God has spoken prophetically over many, many years. And the Lord says, but you, most of you rejoice in the word, but you don't take the word. You have to take the word. You know what you did? You leave it in the seat. One thing you do is you acknowledge truth. That's a good thing, because a lot of churches don't even know. And you do move in the power. But what do you do with the word for the hour? The word is the power. The word is the power. That's what the word of God says, yes? It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power. The word of God is the power. And so when God speaks the word, whether it's preached from the Logos word, or if it's a Rhema word release, guys, listen, we cannot sit on the word. We have to do something with the word. Got to do something with the word. You got to do something with the word of God that's been planted. And the Bible says that the word of God must be engrafted. Oh, God's saying some things. This is like the flow. You know, I said, a man was in a meeting I was in, said, I've seen you on video, and I don't understand why you bring notes, because I've never seen you go by your notes ever. But you put the notes in you, yes? And so my gift works by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so God is speaking to us this morning. So far, what have you heard? I want to hear from you. So far, one person, tell me what you heard God say. What did God say? Be bold. Do not fear. What's that?
Do something with the word, not sit on it.
So what he just said, he gave us a word this morning, didn't he? He said, be bold. He said, be very courageous. What else did he say about this day? What did he say? He said, this is the hour of power. This is the day of power, didn't he? He said, this is the greatest day, this most powerful day. Didn't he say that? He said, don't be afraid. He said, move out. Build yourself strong in the Lord and move in courage. Move out and be courageous. Isn't that what he said? So I want you to receive the word of the Lord. Right now, lift your hands and say, Father, I receive that word. And let it be unto me as you say. Come on, I'm going to hear you. Come on. We are Pentecostals. Come on. Say it loud like you mean it. Lord, I heard what you said. And I receive the word that is engrafted in my heart. You said that we will be bold as lions. Didn't he say that? To be bold. We're going to be bold. We're going to be bold. We're going to be bold. And we're not to fear. We're not to fear, because this is the most powerful day to live in. And that we are glorifying God, and that heaven is watching you. Isn't that what God said? He said that heaven is witnessing our witness. Our witness. We're witnessing. Every time you come to church in the midst of trouble, you're witnessing. You're witnessing. You're being a witness, Bree. You say, I'm a witness. I will come and witness. Like when there is a trial and there's witnesses. Right? The word of God's on trial, church. The church is on trial. Satan has put the word, the church, on trial. But God has put the church, where's God putting the church? On fire. See, Satan understands your day better than you do. He understands what's coming. He understands the preceding glory. The glory is coming. And it's here in tiniest little measure. But he sees what's coming. He sees and knows the time that we're living in. It's important for you to know and understand the time that you live in. How do you know? How can you track with heaven? Church, we've got to track. We've got to track with God. We've got to track with Him. We've got to run alongside of the Holy Ghost. We've got to know where God is, what He's doing, and then more specifically, what He wants to do with you. So the enemy has put the church on trial because God is going to be putting the church on center stage. Ed Dufresne used to say, when God moves, so does the devil. See, it shouldn't be the devil moving with God. It should be us moving. We should be in the secret place praying much. My God, for 10 years I've been coming and saying what? What have you heard me say more than anything? You have heard me talk about the Holy Ghost. You have heard me say, we must use our spiritual language and pray what? Come on, talk to me. We've got to pray much in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to be talking about those things in the next couple of days. It's going to be very, very powerful. If you're fearing, that is telling, isn't it? I'm flowing with God. If I step on your toes, you know I love you and God loves you, right? So I'm not saying names, but I'm hearing God. See, I'm tracking with the Spirit right now. If you're fearing in this day, that's very telling. Because if we fear in this hour, we do not believe. We do not believe. You're not believing. If you're in fear, you're not believing. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You're going to choose. You've heard that forever. But this is an hour like any other hour. And really, God has always wanted to do what He's getting ready to do for years and years and years. He's just never had a faithful group of people who will stay steady and stay in the Spirit and stay in the secret place to hear instruction, to get strategies, and to move and become one with God. When you move and become one with God, fear goes. And so if you're fearing in this hour, see, God is speaking and so is the devil. But if you reach more for, come on. If you're reaching more with darkness, that means you're agreeing more with darkness. That means that's the voice that I usually listen to. That sounds familiar. That sounds right. That sounds about right. That's what we're going to have. But if you're a person of faith and you've been growing in faith and you believe the word of the Lord, not in your head but in your heart, you are rejecting what the devil is saying. You're saying, like Donnie said, shut up, devil. I've said this before. My life has gone a completely different way, and I am enjoying my life so much more, even though Greg died. Why? Because I just simply chose not to listen to anything the devil says anymore. The power of the fear that controls you is in the agreement of the fear. You're agreeing with fear. You have agreed with the spirit of fear. Let me tell you something. We do not have just a spirit of fear in this nation. We have, what was it I said in the car yesterday? Because I don't say that very often. The Lord said it is a, not a stronghold, what is it? A principality. It's a principality over this nation, which is the light and the glory. See, I know you're sitting there and agreeing with me, but how come you're not walking in it? We choose to fear or to trust. And when the devil is screaming in your ear and he is pushing, we're going to talk about that in just a second. The Bible says, and the winds blew and the rain fell hard and pressed hard against that house. See, all the devil has is sight and sound. Have you ever heard of sight and sound theater in Branson? Sight and sound make everything come alive. But in that scripture, the Lord is telling us that that's all the enemy has. Is sight and sound. But if you're predisposed to darkness and you are more predisposed to the negative, that's all you're going to have. If you agree in your heart, your mind, I agree Jesus loves me and I agree with my mind, I acknowledge it as truth that He healed me, but it's never gone into your heart, then you will never be able to receive your healing by faith. You may be able to receive your healing if a gift, a person that operates in the gift of healing comes and calls you out, but you could lose it. You could lose it because you are not, there's a scripture coming to my mind. You're not convinced. And so fully persuaded. And so how do you become fully persuaded? Only way you can be truly fully persuaded is to take those scriptures and meditate on them and think on them and worship with them until the Holy Spirit does His part and reveals it to you. I just said something. See, the Holy Spirit is a revelator. He wrote the Word and He has to reveal it. He's got to reveal it. You can't see it. It takes the Holy Ghost to help you to see with spiritual eyes what you don't understand. But if you don't take the Word Monday through Friday and not just read it, but meditate on it and get it down in your heart, He doesn't have anything to work with. God's power is very much available. God's power is more powerful than the works of darkness. Church, I'm telling you this morning that God wants an army. God is building an army. And this army is going to rise and do great works for God. But this army is going to be fully persuaded. And how in the world would you be able to look death straight in the face and love not your life unto death if you're not fully persuaded? I tell you right now, you think you could, but somebody brings a gun in this place and you will be afraid. And we were supposed to be prepared for that day. This is the greatest hour. Things are getting ready to get fun. Huh? The activity of the Holy Ghost is going to be off the charts. Satan believes it. How do we know Satan believes, Pastor? Because of what he's doing. Wasn't it said in 2019 or that 2020 in the Hebrew word was going to be called the year of the mouth?
Hello.
Somebody believed it.
Yeah.
Why? Because he put a mask over your mouth. Uh-oh. What did I just say? I just said something. This was supposed to be the year of the mouth. Speak, and it shall be. Devil, move. And he moves out of the way. But instead, darkness came with a bigger idea and put a mask over your mouth. I tell you what, I did not like yesterday when I had to get on that plane and wear a mask for 4 hours. Did not like it. You know what I said? I've been doing this anyway. I said, okay, you put a mask over my mouth and I'm praying in the spirit for 4 hours. And I'm praying that every single person on this plane comes to the glory of God, devil. That's what I'm doing. And when I come into a store and I have to wear a mask, I will obey the laws of the land, but if it's kind of up to you, I will not wear the mask. And somebody looked at me funny the other day. I said, I'm in faith. I'm in faith. You're going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. But if you don't know that, wear the mask. There's a Philistine in our nation. Just like Goliath stood across the valley from the Israelites. And he was His voice was loud, it said. His voice was very loud. That's what the word said. And have you ever spoken like there's an echo? When there's a valley like that, there's an echo. So his voice was louder. And when little David came and saw his brothers who were renowned fighters in the Israeli army sitting and just afraid of that Philistine giant who's saying, "You come close to me and I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff and I'm going to blow your army down." And so they believed the word of darkness over what God said. Talk to me. There's a Philistine in your life. There's a Philistine in your life. There's a Philistine in your life. And God wants you to have a spirit of faith like David did, who ran. He was indignant. Oh my God. You know why David was indignant? Because he knew God. He didn't think he knew. He knew the living God. And how did David, the little sheep shepherd, right? How did the little shepherd boy know God? Because you know what? God was building one of the greatest warriors in a little field tending sheep. And how did God build his David strong? Strong in faith, strong in the power of God's might. Might and power work with faith. He worshiped God till God was big. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. He sang songs like that. That's out of Psalms, isn't it? As a deer. And let me tell you, his brothers are out there having fun, fighting. And he had dreams. He could imagine himself being a mighty warrior. But he had to tend the sheep. But he wasn't just tending sheep. God was preparing him to be epic. Amen. Oh no, baby. You just stay right there and you take care of my sheep. And you worship me. And you get to know me. And I'm going to do great and mighty things through you. Your name will be epic. And I will use you to do epic things. And as he began to grow in his faith, because his God became so big, his God was glorious. Make his name glorious. God became all and all to him. He filled the fullness of his all of his life. And when he would go into that sheep shed or that sheep little pasture place, whatever they do, every day he'd go with his little lyre. Bless the Lord, oh my. Hey, come over here. Come here. Get over here. What did he do? I'm talking to the sheep. That's what I was just doing. He did the mundane things with God. I'm saying things by the Spirit. You better catch. Answers are coming to you. He did the most mundane things. Somebody here has said, "God, I'm so tired of the mundane." Who am I talking to this morning? Come on. I'm tired of safe. God's not safe. He's a lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a lion. And the Bible says he roars. He's not safe. He's power. We were never meant to live a safe life. Safe is boring. Yeah, You know where I'm going to be 3 or 4 days after the election, which is supposed to be like off the charts? I'll be in New York. I'm excited. God's made me into a warrior princess. How did that happen? I was thinking about this the other day, how God's brought me. I don't even know who I am anymore. My family don't even. I was June Cleaver, guys. I was the June Cleaver of the house. I kept house, made pot roast. And I'm not that anymore. And that's fine because there's stages of our life. But God called me out of the home. My last one is in Afghanistan right now. And so I'm free. Safe is nice for a while. We all need a reprieve. But my God, how long is necessary? 20 years? 30? It's been our demise. Oh, my shalarakata. There's a Philistine in your life. There's a Philistine in our nation. It's a principality. It's a giant called fear. It is the spirit of Antichrist that's come. Loud. Spirit of Antichrist. His voice is louder than God's. That cannot be. David said, this cannot be. Judah, what's wrong with you, man? Get out there. Take down that giant. Those guys, his brothers tried to make him look this big, but he turned around and said, what about you guys? How can you stand there and let that thing, that spirit of Antichrist, how can you let... Uh-oh, I'm going to start meddling. Yeah. This is normal for me. Now I'm going to start meddling. Dr. Fossey, whatever his name is. How long are we going to let him dictate? We flow with God. And if the law hasn't been met, and there's no law made yet, are we paying attention? God hasn't allowed a law to be made. But it will happen if you want to just lay down and let the devil take God's time. This is his day. And he has plans for this hour. And they are good and not evil. And there are plans to prosper you and do you good. But those plans will not come into your life as long as you're bowing down to a Philistine called the spirit of Antichrist, who is telling you, you can't sing in church. What? That's what they're saying. Do you see? No, you can't sing. No, whoa. There can be 10,000 Antifa fighters next to each other spitting, and that's fine. Does it make any sense? Because it's the devil. Is this helping anybody here this morning? David said to his brothers, I'm not sitting back here and letting this happen. This is not going to happen. I may die, but I'm going to defend the name of the Lord my God. I know my God. I guess you don't even know the God that our Father put in our heart, but I know him. I killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands. And that was supernatural. That was not David, and David knew it. It was a gift of faith. God gave him the opportunity to be a militant soldier, to kill a lion and a bear with his... What was God doing? Building his faith for Goliath. Building his faith for Goliath. Building his faith for Goliath. 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 You see? God had this plan. And the morning it was going to happen, God's like, come here, guys. Come here. Hey, everybody, come here. Watch this. You got to watch this. Angels, great clouds of witnesses came. He said, watch this. And I believe an angel was with him and directed that stone straight into that giant's head. And I believe the spirit of faith on that kid so strong scared the living daylights out of Goliath. And when Goliath said, Who am I? Am I a dog to you that you would come against me? That was rude. He was disrespected, dishonored. Yeah, God used David to despise his strength. That means to make small. Despise. When Jesus despised the shame, doesn't mean he just didn't like it. He made it small. He made it nothing so that he could go on to do something, to finish the work. Come on. Spirit of God is saying something. I've never said that. That's Spirit of God speaking. That's the Spirit of God speaking. This is our time, man. And we're not going to fight in the natural. We may have to use guns. Man, we may have to. I got another message that I'm not preaching right now. But if you read Nehemiah chapter 3 and 4, God wanted a wall. Hello, what does our president want? Okay? And the governors came against him. Huh? And they had to use knives, slingshots. At first they were, I'm not going to even get into this message, but if you look it up, they used every force possible. Physical, spiritual, and they used the law. Come on. Come on. So this fight's going to be done on every level. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but I remember saying this years ago here. I said at other places, the Lord is going to help us get our nation back. Amen. I was saying this years ago. We're going to have to fight for her because we let this happen. Do you remember that? And the Lord said, I'm going to give you power to destroy your enemies from within first. Hello? Are our eyes open? Are you awake? Do you see what's going on? Do you see that we might have some infiltrators that are not truly American? Goliath, boom, boom, Goliath. That's what he's trying to put fear in us. But David wasn't going to have it. He said, Goliath said, I'm going to chop your head off. And David said, no. I believe David looked right in Goliath's eye in the fear of the Almighty God. Because it wasn't David looking, it was God looking straight to Goliath and said, you're meat for me. You're meat. When he came with a spirit of faith, and there was the line, and he went, whoa, here's Goliath. And David ran right up to the line. He wasn't back there going, we're going to get you. Yes, we are. No, no, no. The power of God. Could we say it was the love of God, the honor of God? The fear of the Lord was greater upon him than the fear of that giant. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine speaking against the living God of this nation? That's what this Philistine's doing, church. He's speaking against the Lord God Almighty's people. He's brought the fight to us. And we have got to build ourselves strong. Isn't that what the Lord said? Be strong. Well, you don't. When the Word of God says be strong, it doesn't mean, oh, be strong, boom. No, no. The word strong in that sense means hakah. It's a Hebrew word that means to be made. How was I made strong in these last 10 years without my husband and some other years as a single mother? By just getting up every single day and moving forward. Despite what my pocketbook said. Despite what the devil was trying to say to me. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything. You see that? He never says something to you that you couldn't believe. He studies you. He knows you. He's going to tell you stuff you could believe. You can't do nothing about the weapon being formed. That's his side. The Bible says no weapon formed. We don't have the power to keep the weapon from being formed. But what we do have authority and power to do is make sure it doesn't prosper when it's sent our way. Come on. And that happens through a people that are strong in prayer, strong in faith, and know their God. And I love it. And David said to Goliath, no. That's not what's going to happen here. No, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. You don't think that? I know it. I know the Holy Spirit chose you. It sent rumbles of fear through him. This kid's not afraid of me. And he's not speaking his own fleshly words. There's power behind those boys' words. Because he put the word of the Lord in his mouth. And now it's a double-edged sword. It's God's word and your word with God's power. And that's a double-edged sword. And he goes, no, that ain't what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to kill you. And then when you're laying here dead, I'm going to take your own sword. I'm going to chop your big head off. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. Now I'm going to drag your head throughout the city and say, this was the Lord God Almighty. This is what God did with the spirit of fear in this nation. We brought him low. Not in our own strength, church. In the power of his might. He's got might. He's got power. He's got might. He's got power. He's got might. He is mighty. He's mighty in battle. Oh. Power. Power. Your God is powerful. And he is wanting so bad to get fear out of the way so he can operate through you. He wants to reveal his power and his glory to you. And you say, well, God, do it. Well, he can't do it without your faith. God needs your words. This is a battle of words. Wars have been started with words. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I was going to say. And they're one with words, too. So far, I haven't said one thing you didn't know. But I may have, by the Spirit, said some things you're not doing. The power of the Word, the power of the plans of God in operation, the success, has everything to do with you being consistent. And you're not going to be consistent unless you're completely, fully persuaded. God wants you fully persuaded. God wants you winning every battle. He'd like us to win every battle. He would. Let me tell you something. There are some battles right now we have to win. We don't win them, we're done. Who's God in our nation? Did you ever think in our nation we would have such a division in our nation as to who God is? Never. In a million years. Never, ever. And that is so disrespectful. That is like spitting on God. Because he created this nation and Israel for himself. Israel wouldn't do what God wanted them to do. So he said the light is going to the Gentile nation. That's this nation, church. This is the greatest nation in the face of the earth. Not because of our army. Not because of our finances. All of that comes because we serve the right God. Every nation has an assignment. This nation's assignment is to produce the gospel. To bring the light and the glory to all the nations. A scripture came to me this morning and I had to look it up because I barely remembered it. Isaiah 60 verse 3, and I did write it down. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your... Oh. What is it? And the brightness of your... dawn. I messed it up. That is the most beautiful scripture ever. Listen to that. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. That's what's up. That's what's God's plan. Jesus is coming, and the greatest harvest of souls the earth has ever had to bear up under. I say bear up. You know why I say bear up? Oh, why do I say bear up? Because there's so much power from heaven that's going to be in the earth that the earth will barely be able to hold up under the power of God, the glory of God. That's what the Lord told me over 20 years ago. He said if the earth groans and there's earthquakes and all of these things that happen because of sin, imagine what it's going to do under the glory of God. We have a Philistine in our nation. And God would that if he had 300 million Davids established. God's power, goodness, knowledge established in their heart. And they don't want to die, but man, they are not going to sit back and let a couple of thousand people in government take away all the work that our forefathers went through to establish this nation in what truth. And we have sat back and allowed that entity, that spirit of Antichrist, to enter into all forms of education in this nation, and the church sat back and did nothing. And so you don't want to fight? You don't want any responsibility for what you did? It's not going to happen. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. I have a son in Afghanistan right now. I talked to him on Saturday. Man, he looks great. Oh, man, I'm not kidding. Remember how skinny he was? So skinny. My son, the one that had problems with depression and anxiety, remember? Delivered. The one that was in the basement for 4 years after Greg died is in Afghanistan. And he went to the battle. He's brilliant, super brilliant. And the Air Force wanted him, and they're like, Fry, before he got off the phone. He said, man, please do me one favor. Do not give your gifts to the Army. You're way too intelligent for that. And he started laughing. He goes, that's probably where I'm going. Because see, he enlisted in infantry. That's a person that wants to go to the battle. What are you going to do with that? He loves the Afghanistan people. He didn't know that God was going to put him in Afghanistan. That's where he's been for the last year. Or well. And he's been in some trouble, and it was really exciting to him. They had to go through some landmines, and because he loves our nation, and he loves the Afghanistan people. And to God, that was honorable. It might not have been God's perfect plan, and that's what the Lord told me, but he said his desire was so honorable. I had to get behind it and allow it. And so I believe Zachary, my son, will come back alive. I do. I believe that. But see, something, God puts that in every human, I believe, is to want to protect and take care of people. I didn't mean to get off on that, but you know what I'm saying? And God wants that in our hearts for this hour. We have got to protect our children. God does not want his church hiding in the closet, eating tribulation food, waiting for the coming of the Lord. And I'm sorry, but that's where most of the church is. Well, oh boy, it's getting tight here, but any minute now the rapture's going to... No! We've got some work to do before he comes back. He's not coming back until he's got something to come back for. And the Bible says that you and I are supposed to make ourselves ready. He will come just as soon as you make yourselves ready. And he has something ready to come back for. But we're not leaving until that harvest is in. We're not. And the Bible says that nations will come to his light. Nations, guys. We're going to see nations change in a day. Oh, my God. Yes, we are. Oh, yes, we are. That's the power that's at work in an earth that we're not tapping into. We can change our school district. You can change your city. Rule your zip code. You tell the devil, you're not touching my city. You're not coming to my grocery store. You are not touching. You just have to say everything. I told you guys the other year, I told the devil, because the Lord said it, you're not using our highways. I forbid it. You come out of those trees, you can't use our trees to spy. We will find out later that they were using our trees. Come out of our grass, you can't, I forbid you, you can't use any part of my town. There will be no evil that comes nigh my dwelling or my neighbor's dwelling or my children's. Come on. You've got to open your mouth wide and let God fill it with faith and His Word. And as you begin to speak from a place of true faith and peace, you're going to see mountains move. You're going to begin to see things shift and change. I'm coming to an end here in just a second. I want to say this. Several years back, the Lord told me that there would be, and see, I didn't quite get it, that there would be cities of refuge. Yeah. Now I get it. Because even though we have a tremendous president, and I believe he's going to get 4 more years, so do we not see that even though he's a constitutional president and he is putting constitutional judges, do you not see the importance of knowing the right judge to pick? That he still has another side of power. And if the house isn't in the right house, in the right hands, I can't tell you how many times I've called Nancy Pelosi's office and said, Madam Speaker, it's the people's house, not yours. It's my house. And I don't like what you're doing with my house, and I'm asking you respectfully to step down. You need to step down. Like, I want you to step down, like, right now. That's what I said. I want you to step down. Because you're polarizing. And you're pulling our nation apart. And that was not your place in the house. It's time for you to step down. That's what God wants us to do. You need to call your local government, cities, legislators, and let them know that you're watching them. And you're watching their voting. This is what our forefathers put in place. It's called the balance of checks of powers. It's a balance. They're checks and balances to the power. But we go the wrong, we lose this election, you'll see. They're not for the Constitution, and they plan to take over this nation. Oh boy, this is not conspiracy theories. They're coming right out right now and saying it, guys. We have to hold on to this nation. We have to pray for this nation, and we need to move this nation back into the light. And that's going to happen as you stand in the light, and you speak from a place in the light, and you begin to talk to your co-workers. Listen, it's very polarizing in the office, I'm sure. But when you see somebody crying, you see somebody sad, you just simply go up to them and say, is there something bothering you? Yes, blah, blah, blah. Could I pray with you about that? They may not want your politics, but they'll take your God eventually. If they take your God, their politics will change. We have a Philistine in our nation, and he is speaking loud. And we have got to go to the line, and we have to speak to him. And you need to start using your words, and you need to start saying, you spirit of fear. You spirit of Antichrist, you are coming down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not pulling down strongholds or, you know, you can pull down strongholds in your own mind, which you should be doing every day, because you're hearing stuff all the time, and your heart is like a magnet, and it's predisposed to certain words. Fear sticks. It needs to not stick. Words of light and truth need to stick. You need to get rid of the fear, church. That is what God is saying to you this morning. He wants a people. He wants an army. There's an army. What? Rising up. That's right. There's an army. 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 Oh, there's an army. Oh, there's an army. Oh, there's an army rising up. There's an army. There's an army. Oh, there's an army. Oh, there's an army rising up. We're an army. Oh, we're an army. Oh, we're an army. We're an army rising up. We're an army dressed for battle. We're an army dressed for battle. We're an army dressed for battle. We're an army rising up. We're an army dressed for battle. We're an army dressed for battle. We're an army dressed for battle. We're an army rising up. We're an army rising up. We're an army rising up. Now here's the Lord's word for you. If you will simply do what God says, He will fight the battle of fear for you. You put God in the ring. The devil wants to fight you, but you put God in the ring and He'll destroy him. You put songs of the Lord in your house. If you have an old CD player, put it on loop or whatever. Repeat. Seriously, that's what I do. It clears the house of all demons. And every single day, listen, you're going to take the Word of God like medicine 3 times a day. In the morning, as soon as you get up, you're going to rise and you're going to worship. And you're going to thank God that you live in this day. And you're not going to run away. Lord, I'm not running away. I'm thanking you that I'm alive in this day. You're going to start worshiping the Lord for His greatness. Ha ha! Let's lift our hands right now. Let's start practicing. Father, we're so happy we're alive in this day. And Father God, we are expectant. Somebody can come and start playing music if they want. Lord, we are expecting. We're expectant. We believe that we're going to receive our King. And we are going to bring His knowledge and His truth back into the systems of this world. And so Father God, just say this. Say, Father God, I give you my life. I give you all the members of my body. I give you my eyes and my ears and my mouth, my arms and my legs and my back. I yield myself to you, God. I will work as one with you. Speak to me, Lord. Show me what part of the wall you want me working on. And I will do your will. Father, I thank you. With the battle, I have your joy. Your joy is my strength. I call up joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit that you have given me. You say, joy, come up. Ha, ha, ha! Ha, ha, ha! Ha, ha, ha! I have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. And I will use my strength, Lord. And I will fight for you, Lord, with your power to bring your glory into the earth. Amen? And then you're going to put the Word of God. You're going to read the Word. You're not going to read it fast. You're going to get up enough time to drink your coffee, tea, whatever you drink, and put your heart in the Word. Put the Word in your heart. And then you worship some more. And then you go to work and you bring your Bible. And either in the lunchroom or in your car, you go back and do it again. And then you do it again on your way back home or right before you go to bed. You do this 3 times a day and you're going to start seeing a shift take place in your life. And glory is going to become more real to you than the despair of the day. Amen? Yeah, and the strength of God is going to come upon you. And you're just going to start seeing things far more clearly than you ever did before. God's going to put your thinking. He's going to give you His perspective. This is what I see, child of God, in this day that you're living in. I see it as the most wonderful day to be alive. Because you're going to help me take back the world. That's what we're doing, guys. We're ending a dispensation. This is the ending of the Gentile dispensation. We're bringing the apostles of the Lamb started it, and we're ending it. And there's more than 12. And we're ending it. So can you not understand that if that's true, the pressure of ending something so glorious and so wonderful is not going to come without tremendous pressure and battle. I don't know about you guys, but when I was younger and I used to look at this day, I used to always know this is going to be a scary day. Man, I had a whole lot to say to you. But I think the Lord said what He wanted to say this morning. So if you have a spirit of fear, I want you to stand up. And I want to tell you something now. I only do this if the Lord tells me to. Can I tell you that I could lay hands on you and I could break the power of it? But if you are not going to be strong and stay encouraged with the scriptures and commit yourself to the kingdom of God, there's no reason to do that. But if you heard the word of the Lord today and you knew it was for you and you know that you do have a problem with fear, I want you just to stand up. And the Lord is seeing your honesty. And He is going to give you the power to break rank with darkness. Because that's what we've done. And listen, I used to be one of the most fearful people you ever saw in your life. I jumped all the time. If my husband left home for a couple of days, I'm talking years ago when I was younger, I would put the Bible in front of the door. In case somebody tried to come in and get me. And I would be up all night long with a light on. Now that is not faith. But I'm not like that anymore. And I had to, let me tell you, I had to choose my thoughts. I know how to overcome fear. And I'm telling you, it isn't easy because you have fear. But the answer is so easy. You simply watch your thoughts. And you don't come in agreement with fearful thoughts. You have to knock them out and resist them. You have to resist fearful thoughts. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. Say, Father, I ask that you forgive me for yielding and listening and operating by the spirit of fear. That is so dishonoring and disrespectful to you. Because I've been taught the word, but I did not build the word and your truth in my heart like I should have. And for that, I am sorry. And I'm asking you to forgive me. Because to you it means that I agreed and had more faith in the devil's harm than had faith in your goodness. So I sowed the darkness and I reaped darkness, expecting to reap light. And you're not a God of confusion, so you could not help me until I understood what I was doing. But now I see what I've been doing. And so I repent. And I know that you love me. And I know that you forgive me. Because you said in 1 John that if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands and just begin to receive it. Thank you, Lord. I receive your mercy. I receive your grace. You're so good, Lord. You love me. And I will not let fear take your place. I will let faith take its place. I will trust you, Lord, with all of my heart. Ministering spirits, come and minister to me and help me to come out. So you're making an agreement with God to come out. But these angels come to help us. And you have the Holy Spirit's power to help you. And you have the Word of God to help you. And you've got Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Come on. How can you lose? It's impossible to lose. You're going to gain your life back. And I hear the Lord saying, when you do this, you're going to get your children back. Oh my God. Did you just hear that? Because you're going to see the faith of God in your life. And they will come to the brightness of your dawn. Glory to God. They will come to the brightness of your dawn. They will see the glory of the King on you. They will see the pleasure of the King on your face. And all their worry and fear will fall away. Because the Lord wants you to know that your children are worried about you. And that has made them or caused them to be offended with me. Because I have not been taking care of you. But you see, it's affected your children. Why would they want a God that you're so afraid is not going to take care of you? They need to come to the brightness of the glory that's in you. So the Lord says, if you will do what He says this morning, obey His instruction, that's all you have to do, He will do the rest. And in the end, not only do you regain your life back, but you regain your children. And your children will be in the house of God. And those that live afar off, the Lord will make sure that He puts them in the right house. But your children around here will be in church with you. That's how big God is. When? Well, just as quickly as you start obeying God. Bruce, I'm getting a word for you, so I'll have it tomorrow night. God has been speaking to me. And I've learned over the years not to give away a part of a word, but I get too excited and I go, bah! But I need the rest of the word, and I'll have it, and I'll release it tomorrow night. God is up to something. This was all the Lord. This was all His doing. And He's got tremendous plans for you, Pastor, and Renita, and church. And He's going to do great and mighty things that you know not of. You're going to take your city. I will tell you that. And the streams. The streams. The streams of heaven that come from the throne of God. is going to flow out of this place into the streets. And people are going to follow the stream. The streams of heaven. The streams of glory. There are streams that come from the throne of God. That's what the word says. There's a stream that makes glad the city of God. There's a stream, a constant flow that makes joy in the city. It pumps the joy of the Lord in the city. Isn't that amazing? Well, God said, Jesus said, what is on earth? Lord, we ask that the kingdom of God would come into the earth so that what is happening in the earth will come into heaven. It's going to happen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lila, I don't know if you want to... Oh, she's gone. If you wanted to end with a song or what, but I just want to say this. Father, I thank you for the word, the instruction that you gave us. This is the greatest time to be alive. This is the most exciting hour. It's an hour of power. Isn't that what God said? It's the greatest hour of God's glory and power. And so, Father, I thank you that you're equipping an army. And we are an army dressed for battle. And our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's with the principalities and the powers and the workers of darkness. Satan, you're my trouble. You're my enemy. Not Nancy Pelosi. You're working through her. You're my enemy. And you will be undone. And all your plans and your purposes will be undone. And God's going to flip all of this on your head. And so, Father, we give you praise that we're going to see it with our eyes. And so, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would protect every heart that sat under this message this morning, that the seeds out of Mark chapter 4, the word being sown in their heart, would take root. It would take root, and the enemy's not going to be able to steal it, but it's going to go deep in their heart, and it's going to produce the fruit. The root will produce the fruit. The root will produce the right fruit. And I thank you that they are going to grow in the stature of God, the wisdom of God, the joy of the Lord, and the trust that they need in you, God. They're going to grow in all of those areas, and they're going to be strong and mighty and do great things for you. And so we bless you, Father, and we bless your people. And we thank you, Lord, for these meetings. I know it's glory's coming, because he's already been talking to me about the rain. The rain is going to fall. But today, the Lord wanted to say to you, rain can fall, but if you still have fear in your heart, you're not going to be able to, you see, you won't be able to catch the rain, because you got holes in your bucket of your heart, and it'll just go right through, you see. So today, tonight, tomorrow, work on what God says. We come back tomorrow night, and we'll see what God does. It'll be really, really powerful. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A couple of things. First of all, we don't have to tear the chairs down, so don't do that. We can leave them up. We're going to leave everything up for the next couple of days. The other thing is just by a show of hands, how many have been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? I'm seeing a lot of hands. In fact, I'm seeing all the hands. And what I would ask you is, are you using them? No. When I say using them, I mean on a consistent, daily, you know, or have you let that slip? You know, and I'm not trying to get show of hands for that. But I think the Lord is speaking to us that we need to key back into that and spend much time, as we've been told, over and over and over and over and over again, much time praying in the Holy Ghost. So come on. And did you know you can pray in the Holy Ghost all the time? Even when you're working by somebody, you can just do it under your breath. Not to be obnoxious, not to be rude or anything, but we need to take God into everything that we're doing. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Listen, I want you to know that God loves you. And just close your eyes for a minute. Just for a second and we'll close. You're here today. God loves you. And he's concerned for you. He wants you to know that above all things, his desire for you is to prosper. Spirit, soul, and body. He wants you to know that he cares for you. And if you're here this morning and you really have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you made him the Lord of your life, but you're just not walking with him, today's your day to just say, Lord, here I am. I come to you just as I am, and I ask you, God, to come in to my heart and fill me with you. I've tried everything else, but I need you. If you're here today, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Or maybe you have, and you're not walking with him. But you say, I need prayer for that. Every eye closed and you know, just no one looking around. But if that's you, would you just raise your hand right now? Because I want to pray with you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, let's all renew our dedication, and then I'm going to sing a song, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. We lay our lives before you. We declare that Jesus is Lord over my life. Lord, I've given you my heart. I've given you my life, and now I give you my will. Whatever you want, I'm willing. And so I surrender to you, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Come on. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And I sense this in my heart that God wants to give you opportunities in the next 24 hours to speak to somebody about Jesus. To pray for somebody who needs Jesus. And don't wait for the shaking and the, you know, just follow that still small voice, that little thought that comes to you. It says, invite them to come, or they need prayer, and just be obedient to that and pray for them. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Be with God. Tomorrow night, 6:30, going to be awesome. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, one other thing. If you want prayer today for anything, come on up. We'll pray for you. God's here. Amen.